Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet Vede ramayane chaiva Purane bharate tata Adavante chamadecha Hari Savata Gita Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Giri Yat Kipa Tamaham Bande Shigurum Dinatarane Paramananda Madhavam.
So before we recite Srimad Bhagavatam, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto the Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is said to be non-different from Krishna. Wouldn't it be nice to directly hear from Krishna? Wouldn't that solve all of the problems in our life? Krishna says, if you depend on me, you work under my protection, you're conscious of me, you can hear me, then you'll overcome all the obstacles in your life. No groping in the darkness, no confusion, everything crystal clear. But Krishna says, but if you can't hear me in Gita, then you'll be lost. Or we're already lost. Prabhupada says, conditioned soul doesn't know what to do and what not to do. That's called the groping in the darkness. I don't know what to do and what not to do. So if we don't know what to do, what not to do, that means we have false ego, and we're not being directed by Krishna. That means we cannot hear Krishna. So we need mercy from Krishna, and we need to be able to hear Krishna. And Krishna, mercifully, he's appearing and manifesting in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is said that Krishna is the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So real hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam means to directly hear Krishna. That's high platform, to directly hear Krishna. Krishna said to Arjuna, I give you divine eyes. With mercy, he got divine eyes. We need divine ears to really hear Krishna in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna is showering mercy in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I can't move my hands. I'm getting nervous. And so we're begging for that mercy of Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can hear exactly what we need to hear to purify our heart and consciousness and to get some very specific instruction from Krishna as to what is to be done and what is not to be done. Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. He said, I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Now please, Krishna, tell me decisively and specifically what is my duty. So we want to hear Krishna specifically and decisively, and he's trying to speak to us internally as Chaitanya Guru Paramatma. Then he's manifesting in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he's also speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Now it's a question of getting mercy. If we're very eager to get mercy, then we'll be able to hear Krishna in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then all of our questions will be answered, all of our doubts will be destroyed, and we'll get strong, firm faith and determination how to move forward in our devotional life. So we offer our most respectful obeisances unto the Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam. I cannot properly glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, but we're trying because we need mercy not only to hear the Bhagavatam, not only to hear Krishna, but also to speak the Bhagavatam, to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not an ordinary, materialistic, scholarly, or business presentation. That will not do when we're talking about the spiritual life. So all spiritual life is based on mercy. To get the mercy, divine eyes, divine ears, divine speech. So we're in that, hopefully we're all in that mood, and therefore we'll all be benefited by nicely hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 6th canto, chapter 4, the Hamsa Guya prayers. And today we're on, I think, 46? 6, 4, 46. Please repeat.
Tapa me hridayam praman tanu vidya kriya akriti angani katava jata dharma tatma asava sura tapo me hridayam brahmam tanu vidya kriyakriti angani kartavo jata dharma atma savasura tapo me hridayam brahmam tanhu vidya kriyakriti angani kattavo jata dharma atma savasura tapo me vidayam brahmam tanu vidya kriyakriti angani kattavo jata dharma atma savasura. Vidya kriyakriti angani kattavo jata dhammatma savasura tapo me hridayam ramam tanu vidya kriyakriti angani kattavo jata dhammatma savasura tapo me hridayam brahmam tanu vidya kriyakriti angani kattavo jata dhammatma savasura.
Mataji? Tapa, austerity is like mental control. Mystic yoga and meditation. Me, my. Hridayam, heart. Brahman, O Brahmana. Tanu, the body. Vidya, the knowledge derived from the Vedic scripture. Kriya, spiritual activities. Akriti, form. Angani, the limbs of the body. Kartava, the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature. Jata, completed. Dharma, the religious principles for executing the ritualistic ceremonies. Atma, my soul. Asava, life heirs. Sura, the demigods who execute my orders in different departments of the material world. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the Lord speaking to Daksha, continuing his instruction. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes atheists argue that since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in His impersonal form. Intelligent persons can see God in His personal form, as stated in the Shastras. But if one is very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately, face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord through this description, which portrays the various internal and external parts of his body. To engage in tapasya, or denial of material activities, is the first principle of spiritual life. Then there are spiritual activities such as the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, study of the Vedic knowledge, meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One should also respect the demigods and understand how they are situated, how they act, and how they manage the activities of the various departments of this material world. In this way, one can see how God is existing and how everything is managed perfectly because of the presence of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetuna nena kunteya jagat vipa vari vartate. Krishna says this material nature that is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. If one is unable to see the Supreme Lord, although he is present as Krishna in his various incarnations, One may see the Supreme Lord's impersonal feature according to the direction of the Vedas, and by seeing the activities of the material nature. Anything done under the direction of the Vedic injunctions is called Dharma, as described by the order carriers of Yamaraj in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, text 40. Veda panihito dharmo hi hadharmas tad vipayaya Vedo Narayana Sakshat Svayambhur iti Shushuma. That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes Dharma, the religious principles. And the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya, he comments, Tapo Vimani Rudrastu Vishnu Hridayam Ashrita Vidya Rupa Tathairoma Vishnos Tanum Upashritya Shingardhi Akriti Gita Kriyatma Paka Shashana Angeshu Katava Sarve Madhya Dehe Chadhama Rat Prano Vayush Chitagoto Brahmadhyā Sveshu Devata. The various demigods are all acting under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. And according to their various actions, the demigods are differently named. Om Jnana Tamaranda Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jnana Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Translation again. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras that constitutes my body. And the spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and the sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. So Daksha, by the mercy of his spiritual master, Lord Shiva, because he was born in this birth from the Prachetas. Prachetas are disciples of Lord Shiva. And although Daksha had offended Lord Shiva, he realized his mistake, and the ultimate mercy was Lord Shiva gave him birth in his own dynasty or own parampara. Is that the ultimate mercy? So here, because of the mercy of the Lord and the mercy of Lord Shiva, he was able to develop very, very strong, high faith and devotion, bhakti, and had strength to be able to perform very severe austerities. And as a result of that devotion mixed with that austerity for the right reason, then the Lord gave his personal darshan. He pleased the Lord by pleasing his guru, Yasya Prasada, Bhagava Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Gutopi. And he received the ultimate benediction. Lord Shiva didn't give him just some other type of dana. He gave him the real dana. That material dana is said to be like cheating. You want to be cheated? You go to Lord Shiva, you ask Lord Shiva for money, he'll give you money. He can give you the highest thing, but he'll also cheat if we want to be cheated. So getting material boons or benedictions, that is a type of cheating on our behalf. And so therefore, the Lord is simply fulfilling the desire. But in this case, Daksha, he did not want the material dana because he understood that there was something higher by the mercy of his spiritual master and the mercy of the Lord. And so by that bhakti, Krishna says, by devotional service, I'll reveal myself to you. So the Lord was very pleased with his devotion and his austerity, gave his personal darshan to Daksha, which is ultimate benediction and ultimate mercy. But the Lord is also merciful to every living entity. He's impartial because he's seed-giving father of every living entity. So the father, he may have different sons, different qualities of sons and daughters. And although he's inclined toward those who qualify themselves and become worthy, he's also, out of his love and affection and his compassion, very much merciful to even his most fallen sons and daughters. And so, we see an example of Mahaprabhu that he came to deliver all the conditioned souls. He did not discriminate. Krishna, he said, first, as you surrender to me, then I'll reward you. But Mahaprabhu, he's not putting any condition like that. He wants to give the highest thing to everybody. Whether qualified, not qualified, educated, not educated, rich or poor, man, woman, any material designation, doesn't matter. He wants to deliver everybody and give them the highest benediction, the highest boon, which is that Krishna Prema, the real dana, Krishna Prem dana. And with that Krishna Prem dana, his intention is that everyone should go back to not just Vaikuntha, but they should go back to Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet, and engage in a loving personal relationship with Krishna, with Radha and Krishna. So therefore, Mahaprabhu is known as the most merciful, Apatita Pavan, and the most magnanimous and compassionate, because he wants to give the highest thing to everyone, including the lowest of the low. So you cannot find any incarnation of Krishna or manifestation of Krishna like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even he was trying to deliver everyone and distribute the highest thing, but some few were very stubborn cases. And although he was freely trying to hand them, still they're not taking. And who was not taking from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What does it say in Chaitanya Charitamrita? The students who were puffed up, right? Atheists, impersonalists, they're very stubborn cases. So although Mahaprabhu first also tried to help them, then he realized, oh, these are very, very stubborn cases. Let me just deliver everybody else first. Then I'll come back for those characters. Those stubborn cases. Some person one time, they asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why are you always talking against these Mayavadis and these impersonalists? And Prabhupada said, I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about you. You are the atheists, you are the impersonalists, you are the stubborn cases. You have unnecessarily complicated yourself. Oh, you see, sometimes Prabhupada said, take boo to kick on face. We say, oh, I'm glad that's the Mayavadis and the impersonalists. That is also mercy. Just like Lord Shiva, he gave Daksha the head of the goat. That was also mercy. How is it mercy? Because he became completely humbled out. If you have the head of a goat, That's a very humble position, isn't it? If you walk around in the marketplace with the head of the goat, can you be proud and arrogant? No, you'll be extremely humble. That is mercy. Even the punishment of Sadhu Guru, Vaishnav, Krishna, that is also mercy. And the end result of that mercy from Lord Shiva is Daksha. He got humbled out, he got purified, and ultimately he achieved perfection. And was born as a disciple, or the sons of the Prachetas, who are very dear, intimate Vaishnavas and disciples of Lord Shiva. So what did he really do to deserve spiritual perfection? So Vaishnava is Paraduka Duki, and just in like Mahaprabhu, he's so merciful, he's always thinking how to purify, how to benefit, how to advance the human society, all the society, all of the souls. So Vaishnava, Gaurapriya Janas, dear devotees of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, they're also in that same mood. So those stubborn cases, the atheistic people, the impersonalistic people who have an impersonal conception of God or don't believe at all in God, or those who are very puffed up or arrogant by their material education because of an extreme level of pride and arrogance, and also some crookedness. It's explained that the only persons ultimately, even all of those persons got delivered. Mahaprabhu came back for the stubborn cases. Sometimes when you have a lot of work to do, right? And then you also know part of that job, part of that responsibility means you have also some heavy thing that you have to do. But you know, if I put my head into that, maybe I won't finish all the easier things first. So let me just anyway get all of that done. And then when all of that is done, then I'll go back and try to tackle the most difficult chores or responsibilities. Sometimes we do like that. Mahaprabhu did like that. And of course that's his choice. In the beginning, he could just immediately purify them and shower mercy. But he also had to perform some interesting lila. And then Mahaprabhu came back as sannyasi. And it said that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that was the trick of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because at that time, everyone respected sannyas order of life. And so, therefore, all of those stubborn cases, they were also forced to pay obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And mostly because they're protecting their prestige, because the pride and arrogance is there. They don't want to be seen in the society that an exalted Vaishnav comes by and then you're so proud and arrogant that you cannot bow down. So, of course, some culture is there. Some understanding that we should behave in a particular way according to Vedic principle, but also because of protecting our own prestige. Anyway, somehow or other Mahaprabhu got them to pay obeisances, and by humbling themselves, paying this dandavat pranams, then they got humble and they became purified. And then in that humbled, purified state, they could then receive the benediction, the highest benediction from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, leelas are there where Mahaprabhu saved the Buddhists. He delivered the Buddhists. He delivered the impersonalists. He delivered the Mayavadis. He delivered everybody. And it says the only ones who couldn't be delivered are those who are kapatis, those who maintain this kapatya, this crookedness. In other words, that we become so incorrigible that we cannot even take the most merciful opportunity from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita regarding devotional service, that if you render loving devotional service to me, I'll reveal myself to you. And then Krishna says, Manmana Baba Madbhakto, always think of me. Always keep me in your mind. Be my devotee. Render loving devotional service to me. And then in that chapter, then Krishna says, okay, if you can't do that, then do this next thing. Because he's trying to figure out how to benefit everybody. Okay, you can't do the topmost thing. So first the topmost thing was mentioned here, Daksha's doing devotional service. He's getting personal darshan of the Lord. The Lord Himself is saying, you have achieved perfection and spiritual ecstasy in your spiritual life. You have become Siddha. But then as the description and discussion goes on, now He's giving more of a, if you can't do that, if you cannot see and recognize me by bhakti, by your pure devotion, then try to understand how I'm manifesting, even in an impersonalistic way, all these different descriptions of meditation that's connected to Krishna's heart. Vedic knowledge that's connected to His body. Spiritual activities, any spiritual bhava or emotion you have, that is also related to Krishna's form. Ritualistic ceremonies, sacrifices, when they're properly doing it, those are limbs of my body. So he's describing all the different various activities that you can do in the Vedic culture for some type or some level of worship or devotion, and he's trying to say, try to see somehow that that's connected to me. If you cannot see my personal two-handed form, Krishna, and of course only those who have love and devotion and bhakti can see that form. Of course, many people also saw that form, but they didn't understand Krishna. Only the Pandavas could not only see Krishna, but understand Krishna. Many people saw Krishna, but they had a different idea of who was Krishna. He's a rich person, he's a prince, he's this, he's that. They're still seeing him materialistic way. Krishna says, although I descend, those persons who materialistic consciousness, they think I'm just an ordinary man. Because they have the materialistic eyes, materialistic conception. So Prabhupada says, it's not enough to say that you saw Krishna or that you can see Krishna. But can you understand Krishna? Can we understand that He is present, that He's manifesting? What are His activities? Why He descends? How He's controlling all of this material energy? Those are all different types of energies. How He's manifesting and controlling and directing all of the demigods. So it's also not enough to see Krishna with the eyes, but one needs devotion, a devotional sentiment, in order for the Lord to give deeper and deeper understanding of Himself and how He is present everywhere. And nothing, no one is separate from Krishna. Krishna says, Aham Savasya Pabhavo, Matasavam Pravatate. That I am the source of all the material worlds, all of the spiritual worlds, everything and everyone is emanating from me. Krishna says, there's no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me, just as the pearls are strung on the thread. So Krishna said, because of your devotion, Arjuna, and to the Pandavas, because of your bhakti, then I'll give you divine eyes, divine ears by which you can see and by which you can hear me. So somehow or other, Prabhupada says, Krishna's like the fire. If you get somewhere close to the fire, you'll feel some warmth. So in all of your Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, cultivation of knowledge, giving in charity, whatever we may do, somehow or other, Krishna says, Bhoktaram Jagnatapasam. See all of that activity, all of that sacrifice, that I am the benefactor, I am the receiver of all of that. See how it's connected to me. So Krishna says, okay, if you cannot see me with pure bhakti, if you cannot keep me in your mind because insufficient bhakti Sukriti or Prem, then try to understand or see me in the nature. Prabhupada says here, is that? If one is unable to see the Supreme Lord, although he is present as Krishna in his various incarnations, if we cannot see Krishna, if we cannot understand Krishna, Prabhupada says, then one may see the Supreme Lord's impersonal feature according to the directions of the Vedas, by seeing the activities of the material nature. And Prabhupada gave the example like the American Indians. I think you are the real Indians, right? I don't think the American Indians are real Indians. I don't think they're from Bharatavarsh. Anyway, they obviously are very low consciousness. Very, very low consciousness. But they say, oh, that mountain that is so powerful, that is so great, or that ocean is so vast and so strong, that has to be God. So they have an impersonalistic conception when they see the greatness of God's creation. And to understand, right, just like you see some amazing building or some amazing vehicle, some Mercedes, BMW, something, and you start driving it, you look at it, you see all the engineering, everything, you say, wow, who invented this thing? Who created, who engineered this? So if we can understand how everything is going on, how the tides are coming in just on time and going out just on time, how the sun and the moon are rising and setting by the clockwork, unless we're in total animal consciousness, or we look in the sky and we see unlimited stars. This is one planet hanging in one universe, in an unlimited universes. So someone, we must say, well, who's created all of this? Who's possibly maintaining all of this with such precision? Who's the engineer? So Prabhupada says, first, try to understand by nature. Now, by seeing the activities, the power of the material nature. And that's an impersonalistic conception. That's not seeing Krishna with the two-handed form playing flute. So there's not sufficient bhakti sukriti. So this is the Lord Himself. And another interesting thing is that it says that even the impersonalistic feature or conception of the Absolute Truth, that must also be according to the direction of the Vedas. Not that whimsically we just try to, you know, spin our brains and minds around and come up with some concocted version of what we think is the Absolute Truth, even an impersonal conception. It's not by imagination. It must also be according to the descriptions. Here the Lord Himself is giving that description. So those descriptions must be authorized according to the Vedas and according to the instructions from Krishna and from Krishna's devotee. Srila Prabhupada gives example of the mailbox. There's an authorized mailbox from the state, from the country. If somebody just puts some cardboard box and puts a hole in it and puts it in his front yard, and he puts a official mail, you can put your official mail here, who will put their mail there? It's not authorized. So all those conceptions and understandings of how Krishna comes and manifests, what is authorized, we have to go there. We have to understand there according to authority. The Yamadutas, when they came, they were very ignorant. They were very low, low, low characters, consciousness. But in some ways they were very, very simple. And the proof of their simplicity is they just accepted whatever Yamaraj told, whatever the Lord told. They said, I just heard this. Prabhupada said, if you're a young student and someone says, how much is 2 plus 2? And you say, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Then you say, how do you say? How do you know? Oh, my teacher told me that 2 plus 2 equals to 4. So you're very simple. Your teacher told you perfect knowledge. You simply repeated it. So your knowledge is also perfect. What you said is actually perfect. Now whether you fully understood it or not, that's another point. But that you spoke the truth. Why? Because you heard perfect knowledge from proper source. Therefore we must hear and accept the instruction from the Lord and the Lord's devotees, from the Vedas, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Direct instruction. And Prabhupada says, maybe later when you get into some higher mathematics class, then you can understand how 2 plus 2 is not 3, or why it's not 5. You may study that. Maybe some of you understand all of that. That's beyond me. But if we're very simple, we hear perfect knowledge from perfect source, then Prabhupada says, then your knowledge will also be perfect. So not by speculation, not by imagination, not by taking drugs and hallucinating and making up your own forms or your own concoctions. Not like that. It must also, even in personalistic conception, that is also described. The Lord Himself with His own voice is describing that impersonalistic conception. And also in another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Lord Rishabhadev, he's also the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. He's talking in his teachings to his sons, Lord Rishabhadev's teachings, in the fifth canto, chapter 5, and text number 19. The Lord here, He Himself is describing Himself. If someone wants to know you, who better than yourself to describe yourself? This is what I like, this is what I like to eat, this is what makes me happy, this is what makes me sad, this is what is attractive to me, this is what I don't like. You can give all details, all even subtle details, if you're conscious and if you're introspective and if you have a nice perspective of yourself, proper perspective of yourself, then you can give very nice nuance and detail and subtlety. So here the Lord Himself is describing Himself, His own form, and His own heart. What is important in His heart? What does it say? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If you say to someone, what do you think about this thing? What is your impression? How beautiful does this look? Many times people, they know, they say, you see, what's beautiful to me may not necessarily be beautiful to you. So the Lord Himself is describing here about His own form, His own body, and the most important part, the heart. The heart is where the soul is sitting. If there's no heart, means no soul, means just a lump of dead flesh. Prabhupada says, if the soul is gone, if the heart is gone, and just the body is laying there, if you go and kick that body, nobody will generally say anything. It's just a dead body. But if the soul is there, the heart is there, the soul is there, now it has some meaning, and now you go try to kick that body, the police will come and immediately arrest you. So Srila Prabhupada gives this example how the heart, the soul, the supreme soul, who is also situated there, Paramatma Chaita Guru, that is the most important part of the body. Otherwise, it's just a lump of matter. That matter, that energy, is a dead. It's also Krishna's energy, but it's in a very inferior position, especially if the soul and the super soul are no longer manifesting within that body. That's what we're calling death, right? So here, the Lord, in His own voice, describing His own form and expressing His own heart, that was 9, right? I only heard 8. That means I can go extra hour, right? Be simple, be simple. So the Lord says, my transcendental body is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. It looks exactly like a human form. Krishna says, I descend in my human form, but the fools, they deride me because they cannot see me. They cannot understand me. Why? Because no bhakti. So Krishna says, no bhakti, I'm going to hide myself from you. Therefore, remain a fool. The Lord is saying, I come in a transcendental body. It looks exactly like human form, but it is not a material body. It is inconceivable with material mind and senses. It's not inconceivable for one who has pure bhakti, prem bhakti. They can clearly see. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena. The Lord is in the heart. His devotee has love and affection. The Lord is reciprocating, revealing. So wherever he looks, he sees the Lord, inside and out. And the Lord also says, and wherever I see, all I see is my devotees. Because it's a question of love. So for materialistic people, for atheistic people, for those with contaminated consciousness, it's inconceivable to understand how God is coming in a form that looks human. But the Lord Himself is saying, don't think it's human by your material conception or your material adjustment. It is spiritual. Satchit Ananda. He says, I'm not forced by material nature. I'm not being forced to accept a particular type of body. We're being forced to accept this particular body and this particular family and this particular country. We had no real choice. We're forced. The Lord is saying, don't think that I'm coming because I'm forced by material energy to assume this particular form. I take this body and I appear in this body by my own sweet will. How He likes to look, how He wants to manifest, where He wants to manifest, what He wants to do when He comes. He's completely independent. He's not at all controlled. In this purport today, Krishna is saying, I am the controller of all of the material and spiritual energies. Not that the energies or material energy is controlling and forcing or creating the form of the Lord. Then the Lord says, my heart is also spiritual. And I am always thinking of the welfare of my dear devotees. Whoever you love, that's who you're going to think about. Those who love Krishna, they can do manmana and become really bhakta. It's a question of love. It's a question of prema. But it's reciprocal because Krishna, He also says that wherever I see, And whatever only I'm thinking about is the love of my devotees, the love of my life. The Lord in this verse today is saying that those demigods, those devotees, especially those premi bhaktas, they are my life and they are my soul. And wherever Krishna is going, only he's thinking about Srimati Radharani. Because he may love everybody, but he has extra special love for Srimati Radharani. The highest love. And why? Because she has the highest love for Krishna. Therefore, it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, means never stops thinking about Srimati Radharani. Even when it says that when Krishna is in Dwarka with the queens. Is that right? Still, sometimes he's half asleep and he's just saying, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And the queens are saying, hey, who's he talking about? Who is this Radhe, 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 Radhe? Right? So it's a question of love. And therefore, here it says, I am always thinking of my devotees, my premi bhaktas. Therefore, within my heart can only be found this devotional service, pure devotional service, bhakti. Because that is only meant, it says, which is meant for bhaktas, for premi bhaktas. And then the Lord says, far from my heart, very far from my heart, I have abandoned irreligion, adharma, no bhakti. They are very far from my heart. So it's a question of love. Then, last thing, please little be patient with me. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is also talking about His heart. It says here in that verse today, my dear Brahmanas, real Vaishnava is Brahmana, real Brahmana is Vaishnava. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation, meditating, that is my heart. So what is Brahmana Vaishnava meditating on? Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Meditating, always thinking about Krishna. And Krishna says, that is my heart. That is my heart. Then in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 4, text 63. This section is a very nice description by the Lord to Durvasa Muni about why he got such heavy reaction by committing aparad, Vaishnava aparad against Ambarish Maharaj, who is a very dear, intimate devotee, premi bhakta of the Lord. He was trying to solve why I got such, why chakra is chasing me? Nobody can solve it. I cannot get any freedom. I'm being tortured. I'm being punished. Even he went to Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu said, sorry, can't help you. You're going to have to go back to that place, Ambarish Maharaj, lotus feet, and you have to beg apology there. And he's a great Vaishnav. He's very compassionate, very merciful. He'll definitely, if you're sincere and you realize your mistake, and you beg apology there in front of him, then he must shower mercy on you. He must relieve you from your aparad, from your sinful reaction. That's karmapala, right? So, then the Lord is nicely describing what is his heart. If we don't understand the heart of somebody, how can we really know how to please him? So if we really want to know, then he'll reveal his heart to you. What can please him? What is the most pleasing thing? Then we have a hint. Then we have some idea. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, he came and said, this is what Krishna likes to eat. This is what he likes to do. This is what you can do to please him. So Krishna can directly tell, or someone who knows Krishna's heart, he can also directly say, oh, Krishna likes this. This dharma means bhakti. Really, Sanatan Dharma. And anything that is not dharma, adharma, then Krishna says, my heart, I run very far away from that. This adharma, or so-called dharma, which is devoid of a bhakti. And this is last thing. Ooh. It's not letting me. Okay, this is not quickly coming up, so I take it that unless you have patience, I can bring it. I don't know. I think it's very nice to meditate on that, to think about that. 6463. What is that? 9-4. That's why. 9463, right? Your scholar? You have to help me. This section with Durvasa Muni and Ambarisha? That is 9-4. Ninth canto. This is Krishna, the Bhagavan. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradino. This is a very important verse to understand the heart of Krishna. What really will please Krishna? Because he himself is saying, by this understanding, try to understand, this will control me. Krishna is supreme controller. But he's giving the only thing that can control him. What can control Krishna? Pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. That's why it says Krishna very easily he gives liberation. But he doesn't very easily give bhakti, prem bhakti. Because he knows, then I'll be controlled. So it's a very rare thing. The Lord says that, he said to that Durvasa Muni, I'm completely under the control of my devotees, my pure devotees. Devotee means pure devotee, shuddha bhakta. I'm complete with prem, love. I'm completely under the control of my devotees. I am not at all independent. He's the supreme independent, the supreme controller, and he's saying, I have no control, I have no independence in front of my premi bhaktas. In fact, they control me by their love and their devotion. Now here, Krishna's saying, Bhagavan's saying here, what is my devotee? Who's my devotee? Vaishnav ke. He says, because my devotees are completely devoid of all material desires. That is bhakta. We are aspiring to become such a bhakta, such a Vaishnav. The Lord says, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. I sit there within the core of their heart. What to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotees, they are also very, very dear to me. It's a question of love. It's a question of prem. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, quoting Narottam Das Thakur, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chikeva. Without becoming a devotee of a devotee, one cannot even be released from the material entanglement. What to speak of developing bhakti without becoming the devotee of a devotee? Devotee in the real sense of the devotee means no material desire. Nadanam, najanam, asundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mamma, jamani, jamani, ishwari, bhavatat bhakti ahaitakitaye. Don't want anything. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he identified himself. He's the Lord himself. He's coming as devotee to teach us how to become really devotee. And he says, whenever they said, oh, you're Vishnu, oh, you're Krishna, you're the Supreme Personality of God, and he blocked his ears. Don't say like that. I don't want to hear that thing. I'm coming in the mood of the devotee. I want to experience what it means. And I want to teach others how really to always think of Krishna and surrender to Krishna. He says, Gopi Patu Pada Kamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudasa. The Lord Himself is saying, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the husband of the gopis. Prabhupada says, thus He instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna. Not directly. But servants of the dear servants of Krishna. Prabhupada says that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Yasya Prasadat Bhagava Prasado. If one, very sincerely he serves the spiritual master, Premi Bhakta, then Krishna becomes favorable, very favorable to such a devotee. And then this is very interesting line. Prabhupada says, following the instructions of a devotee, Bhakta, Premi Bhakta, following those instructions are more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. More valuable. Very interesting. Why? Because Krishna says, my devotees are more dear to me than even myself. They mean more to Krishna than himself. He said, they are my life and my soul. Those devotees, they're my life and my soul. They're my heart. My heart is only with them, is only moving with them, for them. They're controlling me. I have no independence. And Prabhupada is not even a secret. This is an open instruction. Secret of success. When you want to be successful in the material world, what do? You go to the bookstore, and you find out who's the richest people in India, who's the richest people in the world. You get Forbes list of the top, 20 billionaires in the world, and you find out if they wrote any books, and then you read it to find out what are the secrets of success. How did they become successful? That's the smart way. That's the easy way. It's practical. So if we say we want the real Dana, which means Prem Dana, that means we have to go to Premi Bhakta and ask him, how did you become successful? What are you doing? What's your mood? What is your mentality? What are your activities? How are you learning to please Krishna? How you got such mercy? Can I learn that? Can I come to that platform? Can I get that mercy? Prabhupada says in this purport. Huh? all great stalwart personalities. Today also talking about the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. They're all under the control of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But the Lord Himself is saying, I'm under the control of my devotee. Is it? Oh, yes, yeah. So, Prabhupada says in his purport, devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, they are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, a servant of Srila Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami, like the six Goswamis, is even still more devoted. And Prabhupada explains, if you associate and serve such personalities and get their mercies, you will take on their qualities. You'll become like them by their mercy. Narada in previous birth, Prabhupada said he didn't even know who was his father. He's a 5-year-old boy. He has no material education, no spiritual education. But because he served these Mahabhagavatas, Premi Bhaktas, Paramahamsas, and they're carrying all the full mercy and potency of the Lord, they are the incarnation of the mercy of the Lord, with full right to fully distribute as they like. They like Narada's mood, his humble mood, his service mood. They had sympathy and some affection for him. And they showered all mercy and blessing on Narada and said, here, take this prasad, take this mahaprasad. Yes, you can sit there. We're speaking about Bhagavatam. You just sit there, try to listen to something. So they showered all mercy. And Prabhupada said, then the next life, Narada came back as Narada Muni. Most exalted spiritual master within this parampara. All based on mercy. And then Krishna, Bhagavan, he says, without those saintly persons, without my devotees, for whom I am the only destination. Again, who's devotee? When we can honestly say, not from the lips, but from the heart, that the only destination, the only desire is Krishna. Is Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. That is devotee. And without their association, I do not desire to enjoy transcendental bliss and all of my supreme opulences. Just like a rich man, he has everything. Right? Or say the son of the rich man, he has everything. But he has no friends. He can't enjoy. Because there's no rasa, there's no love, there's no affection, there's no one to enjoy it with. Isn't it? I'm going to quickly jump. And then, Krishna, Bhagavan, then he continuing. Those pure devotees, Shuddha Bhaktis, they give up their homes. They give up their wives. They give up their children. They give up their relatives. They give up all their riches and opulence. They live simple lives, simply thinking how to serve me without any desire. They're not at all interested in material improving their life or their next life. Those are my devotees. Those are my pure devotees. Then the Lord says, how can I give up such devotees at any time? How can I ever give them up? They've given everything to me. They are too dear to me. And Prabhupada says, okay, you may not be that kind of devotee, but if you're serving that kind of a devotee, then you also become dear. Because you're pleasing the Lord, you're pleasing the Lord's devotee, you get their mercy, then we can also become elevated, more elevated. The Lord says that as the chaste woman brings the gentle husbands under their control, chaste woman, controls that husband by her service. Love and affectional service, right? So the pure devotees, Shuddha Bhaktas, they're equal to everyone. Because they're seeing souls, and everyone's related to Krishna. They're equal, they're impartial. They're not political. They're on soul platform. They become completely attached to me in the core of their heart. So they have this loving attachment, right? They bring me under their control. So, this is the heart of the Lord. Prabhupada says, if you love me, love my dog. Somebody's walking with their dog, they're very proud of their dog. Not only that, they love their dog. And if you somehow or other, you show some love and affection towards that dog, even if you don't like dogs. I was always afraid of dogs because every time I saw a dog, I would get bit in America. I must have done something bad to a dog in my last life. I think so. Really. Seriously. If there was a dog anywhere, I would just watch and he, somehow or other, he would find me. Honestly. And I'd be running up the street, you know. I'd have like packs of dogs running after me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking to my friend's house. All of a sudden, I see, oh, there's 5-6 dogs there. They're mulling around. Now all of a sudden, they've stretched out and they're going across the street. This is a true story. They're stretched out now across the street and it looks like a force. I can't go on that sidewalk. I can't go on that sidewalk. I can't go up the middle of the street. So I'm in a dilemma. And I'm thinking, are they looking at me? Then all of a sudden they start like little running, you know? And I was like, uh-oh. Then they start like really running. And I'm like, they're after me, you know? And then I ran and I dove on the car. And I'm standing on the roof of the car. Help, help, I got 6 crazy dogs that are trying to kill me. And all the dogs are just jumping up and down and they're just like trying to bite me. And I was thinking on top of that car, I must have done something wrong against some dogs in my life or past life. Otherwise, why am I getting such heavy reaction? So whenever I hear Prabhupada's analogy about, yes, love me, love my dog, I'm like, uh-oh. Of course, it's an analogy that if you love Krishna, if you want to love Krishna, try to love those persons who are the most dear to Him. And try to please them. And Krishna says, this is even more pleasing to me. That's why Prabhupada says it is more valuable. So here is a description by the Lord Himself, not only about His external form, but also about His heart of hearts. Now it is up to us to be simple enough to place faith and to consciously, purposefully think how to please Krishna by serving His dearest devotees with a genuine, pure heart. And if we can do it, if it's real, then certainly we must get mercy from those Vaishnavas. And we must get mercy from the Lord. And then Prabhupada said, then your spiritual life will be very fast, very quick. And Prabhupada said, this is the secret of success in the spiritual life. Secret of success. Not Donald Trump or some other big billionaire looking for the gold. The material dana. Vaishnavas who are tasting, who are chasing after prema dana, they look on the material dana like a stool. Even the Vaishnavas, they talk that gold is like a yellow stool. Huh? Because they're getting something higher. so they can understand this is insignificant. But if we don't get something higher, then all this other thing will be very attractive. Krishna says, unless you get a higher taste, how you let go of the lower taste? So we need a higher taste. So by serving the Lord's devotees, trying to please them, purifying our heart and consciousness, then we'll get a higher taste. We'll get reciprocation. And gradually all of these other materialistic things will become less and less and less insignificant. That's what we need. It says, without the mercy of such Vaishnavas, you cannot get out of the material entanglement. If we are not attracted to Vaishnavas, means we're not attracted to Krishna. If we cannot recognize Vaishnava, means Krishna also not revealing Himself internally, externally, or through His Vaishnava devotees. Means we're still blind by this material contamination. I have gone way over. Please, in your prayers today, forgive me. But I feel like we've got some benefit. I feel that way. I hope you also feel that way. And let us try to think and meditate on this thing in a very real way. And let's try it with faith, with a simple heart, and then let's analyze what result we get, what benefit we get. Then we'll have full faith that this is the means, the process, the secret of success in the spiritual life. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gurudeva ki, Samaveda Bhaktabrinda ki, Gaur Premananda. Jagannath Mahaprasad ki. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Thank you very much. Bahut bahut dhanyavad.